Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Happy Epiphany. It is so cool when Epiphany happens on a Sunday. Doesn't happen very often, but it's so cool because it's an opportunity for us to celebrate, as I mentioned in the children's sermon, the 13th day of Christmas. An opportunity for us to celebrate Christmas of the Gentiles. Because all the promises that were made and all the prophecy was that Jesus would come to save his people. And in Isaiah 60, we get a glimpse of the fact that it wasn't just limited to the people of Israel, but it was for all people. And on these days when it's dark outside and when it's supposed to be cold, I don't know what happened, but it's supposed to be cold. It's a time when we need to hear the good news that Jesus came for us. A lot of times after Christmas, you know, the rest of the world kind of, after December 25th, they put Christmas away. Yet for us as Christians, Christmas just began. It began on the 25th and went all the way to yesterday, right? The 12 days of Christmas. And we recognize that those 12 days have been set apart so that we, in the middle of the darkness and the cold and the depression that often happens after the family leaves and after all the celebration is over and all the mess is there, that we recognize that the gift is still the gift. The promise is still the promise. And Jesus is still the one who came to save. He's the one who was promised and who came in the manger in Bethlehem. And then you add the 13th day, that day of Epiphany, where you get to hear the wonderful promise of the Magi. I know we don't use the Magi word, which is actually the Greek word here, Magi, which is where we get the word magician, right? And so when they came out with the ESV, they decided, we don't want to call these guys magicians, because as a negative, it's a negative word, so we're going to change it to wise men. And some people call it wise guys, but you know, wise men, right? But yet the word actually is Magi. And the reason it's significant is because it harkens back to Daniel in the Old Testament, where the people, the group of which Daniel was a part under King Nebuchadnezzar, that group were called Magi, magicians. They're not a very nice group, by the way. If you read Daniel, find out they're not a really nice group. They're kind of cutthroat, you know. They kind of eat each other. They're not very nice to each other. And yet, they're the ones who King Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to interpret his dream, remember? I don't know if you read this. I don't have time to go over it today, but look it up. It's pretty cool. And he decides, you know what? I don't want you just to interpret my dream. I want you to tell me the dream and then interpret it. You really, it's kind of like calling the 1-800 numbers, or they used to have, I don't know if they still have them, but you call 1-800 number to talk to a psychic. And I've never ever spent a dime on it because I think it's foolish. But if I did, I'd want them to tell me, what am I calling about? Why should I be, if you're the one who could figure things out, why am I calling? That would be my first question. Anyways, I don't know, I don't want to waste any money on it, but I'd be kind of curious what the answer would be. Because that's exactly what Nebuchadnezzar does, right? He invites the Magi in and he tells them, hey, you know, I don't want to tell you the dream so that you can interpret it. I want you to tell me what my dream was. And Daniel was the only one that could do that. So the Magi, we know, had a history with the truth because Daniel was there and the people of Israel were there. They were in exile there and they brought the word to Babylon. And we believe that the Magi who come, the mystery is that they saw the star rising in the east. It says the star rose and they knew it was for the king of Israel or Judah, and they came to Jerusalem, which makes sense because that's where the king's supposed to live, right? In the capital city. You wouldn't come to Ann Arbor if you were looking for the president of the United States, right? Where would you go? Mar-a-Lago. Oh, Tom. No, you would go to Washington, the big White House, right? No. Okay. Anyways, so we recognize that epiphany for us is when we see the mystery that was hidden, as St. Paul talks about, the hidden mystery made known. The manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles as represented by the Magi in Matthew 2:12. The festival commemorating the Epiphany on January 6th. The manifestation of a divine or supernatural being, a moment of sudden revelation or insight. People often make, in comic strips, epiphanies by putting little light bulbs over the top of people, right? You've seen those, and people get ideas or manifestations or epiphany moments when the light bulb goes off. Well, mystery in revealed to the, in the 13th day is a Christmas for the Gentiles because we have the Magi, we have the star, which I think is kind of significant because how many stars have you seen that lead you to a house? I mean, my GPS sometimes doesn't lead me to a house. I mean, this has got to be a star, right? This has got to be, I often think, now this is not the official doctrine of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, but I often think it was an angel. Because in Revelation, angels are often referred to as stars, right? So, especially the fallen ones. That was, I often think, because how could it go from the short distance of 6 miles, how could they go to Jerusalem following the star, and then the star, it says the star led them to the house. And they went in and worshipped him. That's pretty amazing. We have an issue with the timing, right? We often refer to the timing. Now, I like the fact that we put Magi or the wise men in the nativity scene. But in actual fact, if you read the scriptures and you read Matthew, do they show up on the night when Jesus is born? No, they don't. As a matter of fact, with the killing of the innocents being everyone 2 years and under, we get the impression that from what Herod heard from the Magi, they actually come somewhere between year one and year two of Jesus. So that's kind of, I mean, it's a while after. And yet I like it because I think it's important that we don't lose them to history. Because again, where it's for us the Christmas of the Gentiles, right? Magi are representative of us. They're people who are not part of the king of the people of Israel, and yet they're the first to worship him as Gentiles. And of course, they have revelation. And they have knowledge. We don't know if this revelation was given because they had Daniel, so they would have had revelation, or they would have had Isaiah, sorry. Daniel would have presented to them the word of God, and they would have had the prophecy of Isaiah 60. Maybe the Lord gave them. One of the things that's happening in our world today that I think is so amazing, and Shema's not here, but there are so many Islamic people that are having dreams where Jesus is speaking to them. I don't know if you know this, but it's amazing. Testimony after testimony after testimony of people, Muslims in Muslim countries, having dreams where Jesus is calling them. And that's what happens here, right? We don't know if that's how they started their journey, was through a dream, but we know the way they went back by avoiding Herod was through a dream, right? They had a revelation through a dream, just like Joseph had a revelation through the dream not to divorce Mary. And they had enough knowledge from their experience that they weren't going to disregard that revelation. They were going to go back, and they responded. And they went back through another route. That's what made Herod angry, and that's why we have the slaying of the innocents in Bethlehem. So my prayer for us is we're doing a series through the whole season of Epiphany. And the season of Epiphany always varies in length because it's the season between the Christmas and what? Ash Wednesday. So it's depending on how many weeks there are between that, that's how long Epiphany is. Some people don't understand that. That's kind of how we determine the weeks in Epiphany. But we're going to spend Epiphany talking about mystery. Because even though in the Old Testament mystery is, that word never appears, it appears 28 times in the New Testament. And mysterion, which is the Greek word, is, I think, a significant truth because this is a mystery as in something into which one must be initiated, instructed, before it can be made known. Something of itself not obvious or above human insight. In the New Testament, spoken of facts, doctrines, principles, etc., not fully revealed, but only obscurely by symbolically set forth. So we want to look at that word mystery and recognize that we're always going to have mystery. One of the things that happened in the Reformation was a desire to get rid of mystery by some. And that they went too far, I think, because that's how you end up with, you got Roman Catholicism on one side where mysteries are just accepted without any biblical or traditional or historic proof. On the other hand, you have what might be called a rationalistic movement where anything that can't be explained is disregarded. You understand the extremes? Well, as Lutherans, we're in the middle. We're in the middle. We don't accept mysteries that don't have some biblical anchor. We're willing to accept that it's something we will never fully understand or can explain if it has a biblical anchor. You understand what I mean by that? If it's in the scriptures, if it's given to us by God, and if it's approved by God. We're not willing to accept mystery just because it's mystery. Does that make sense? Hard for me to, I'm trying to explain this, and I didn't get much sleep, so just got back from Mississippi this morning, and by the time we got into bed, it was really early. So anyways, and I just want to look at the gift that we have in mystery, because what you do if you're on this side of the spectrum where you just try to take out every mystery or try to rationalize or explain away every mystery, what you do is you take away the fact that we as human beings will never fully comprehend God. I mentioned that in the prayer. To fully comprehend God is like trying to put the Pacific Ocean into a cup. Have you ever been successful? Have you been successful putting Lake Michigan into a cup? Or even the pond? Okay? It's impossible. And we have this, I think, and this is an evangelical Christian problem, I think we fear mystery. Because we want to be able to explain everything. We're in a scientific age where we want to be able to explain everything. And yet the Bible gives us this wonderful promise that the mystery will be revealed to us through Christ. The mystery is being revealed to us through His Word. The mystery is being revealed to us in His sacraments. The mystery is being revealed to us as we experience His power. I mean, I've been in churches where they don't believe in healing anymore because it's a mystery and they don't like it, so they just disregard it. They say it went away with the early church, with the apostles. I've been in churches where they say, well, the Holy Spirit's gifts, the manifestation gifts of 1 Corinthians 12, well, they don't exist anymore because we have the Bible now and it's not necessary. I'm like, excuse me, how many of us like to see miracles? How many of us like to see God show up and do the impossible? Wouldn't the faith be boring if that didn't happen? I don't like using the word boring because my children use it too much. But, not in reference to my sermons, though. Yeah. So we're starting a series, so I'm just going to introduce it and then we're going to move on. But this is the amazing introduction in Ephesians chapter 3. It says, "For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery that was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly, when you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and the prophets by the Spirit. The mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel." "Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gifts of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power to me, though I am the very least of all the saints. This grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring the light to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This is according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. Brothers and sisters, I pray that we would let the mystery be the mystery. Let mystery be mystery. If it's anchored in the scriptures, let it be. Why do we feel the need to somehow diminish it by trying to explain it away? Or why do we just accept things without any scriptural anchor? The challenge for us in this Epiphany season as we walk through these mysteries, the mystery of salvation, the mystery of God's plan, the mystery of God's sovereignty, the mystery of why people suffer, the mystery, all these are mysteries. But yet let the mystery be the mystery. Let it be revealed in Christ Jesus. Let it be revealed through his word. Let it be revealed in his church. That's what he says. It'll be made manifest in his church. It'll be made known to us as we gather together and as Christ reveals to us his power. His promise is fulfilled. I always, you know, we were down visiting a really interesting, the church that we go to help out in Mississippi. They're Reformed Baptists. That sounds funny. Reformed Southern Baptists. Because they believe in Calvinistic principles and in covenant theology, which is different than most Southern Baptists, okay? And what I love about them is that Pastor Don and that congregation, there's a very small group of Reformed in the Baptist community. And what I love about them is that they're striving to figure out this mystery. Because when you try to just take away the mystery and you just try to boil it down to what we understand, you miss so much. And I always find our discussions to be really fantastic when we recognize where we have commonality in that we accept the mystery. But he uses words like, we have the Bible and we have ordinances. And I always think, you know, it's not just an ordinance. You know what I mean by ordinance? They don't call it sacraments, they call it an ordinance. It's a command. It's something you're supposed to do, right? It's a law. You're supposed to, when you get together, you're supposed to have communion because you're together. And yet, I love it when he says that because I'm always thinking, I love the word sacrament. Sacrament. Do you know what sacrament means? Set apart. It actually means sacred. Set apart and sacred. And if you ever heard of Sacramento, there's a place in California called Sacramento. Yeah. The word Sacramento is often defined as mystery. Mystery. And I love the fact that when we talk about word and sacrament, we're honestly telling people we believe that the Bible is so much bigger than we'll ever be able to comprehend, that the Word is so much bigger than we'll ever be able to do. Just like St. Paul's going to say to us in Ephesians later on, that the love of Christ is immeasurable. It is immeasurable. That's how awesome our God is. He is immeasurable. He is so much more than we can comprehend, so much more than we can understand. And yet he reveals the essentials to us in his Word. And he makes his real presence, the presence of the God of the universe, made true and present to us in the sacrament. Isn't that awesome? I think it's awesome. You think it's awesome? That we can gather here around this word and sacrament, and we know with certainty that we have received his grace, and we know with certainty that we have been in his presence, and we know with certainty that he loves us, that he's forgiven us, and he's given us new life. What a way to bring in the new year. Isn't that awesome? Let the mystery be the mystery. Because we can handle it. I know you can handle it. I'm not sitting up here like in that movie and say, you can't handle the truth. I believe you can handle the truth. I believe that God wants to reveal to you every day more and more, that you can grow as his people and trust in his promise and experience his presence and expect mystery, miracles, signs, wonders. Expect it, because he wants us to let the mystery be the mystery and move forward in his power. Amen? Welcome to 2019. It's going to be a ride. It's going to be a ride.